This is Not Often Heard with Gary Taylor and Mark Stockley.
Hello and welcome to Not Often Heard, the podcast. My name is Gary.
And my name is Mark.
I wondered if you were there for a moment.
Oh, was there a bit of a delay?
Small delay.
I'm definitely here.
welcome to this next in our occasional series of podcasts about things that, well, we like to talk about that we just don't get enough time to on the regular show, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically our indulgence.
Very much. Okay, so it's been a bit of a while since we've done one, but we've got a cracking subject to come back on.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be talking about the new season of Doctor Who. So this is season 12?
Episodes, yes, I believe so, yeah.
Episodes 1 and 2, Spyfall.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mark, we've had to wait a year for this, a whole calendar year, which is one of the longer gaps we've had in recent years, shall we say. First of all, was it worth the wait?
Yes, I think, put simply, I think it was worth the wait. I think, I don't know if the gap has meant that they've become, the production team and have become a little bit more reinvigorated, but fair to say it's come back with a bit more of a bang than the last season did.
Yes, there was, I don't know, the last season was very polarizing, it felt.
Oh, incredibly divisive.
Yeah, you know, fandom really did split down the middle. You either loved it or hated it, and there seemed to be very few people that were in the middle ground.
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably was one of the few that was in the middle. I appreciated some of it, but a lot of it I was a bit like, yeah.
Yeah, and it was one of those seasons where I have to admit I didn't actually rewatch any of the episodes. I didn't really feel like I wanted to. I only rewatched Resolution before this one. But anyway, that's last season. Let's talk about this season.
Yeah.
They're back with a bang with a two-parter. And it's the first time we've had a two-parter, a proper two-parter for a while. Now, in terms of what I liked, because like you, I thought it was a massive improvement on what we saw last season. I thought we had a really good pace on it. It zipped along really nicely. Because there was some criticism last year about it. The plot would drag a little bit in places.
Yeah.
But it felt like we had lots of energy. It felt like a team that was comfortable with the show they were making.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
I think, yeah, it felt like in the first season that they did all together last year, that it was, they were like finding their way a little bit. And then this time they're like, no, you know what? We know what we're doing, and we're going to come back with a bang, and we're going to have this, and we're going to do this, we'll have that, we'll do that.
Yeah. And
it really nicely.
Absolutely. It was very James Bond inspired, because it's all around spies, infiltrating gadgets, that kind of thing. There was a heavy Bond theme running throughout it, which I didn't think it was overdone. I thought it was nice few nods, including on the soundtrack. And obviously the old tuxedo made an appearance there for the team. And it flowed really nicely from that point of view. And in terms of the monsters, really creepy with the kind of glowingness of them and the way they were kind of popping out of the walls and dragging people off. Again, I thought it was really, really good. You know, it kept my attention.
Yeah, I think the monsters were just the right amount of creepy.
Hmm. Yes, definitely. They're kind of fizzing away and kept you guessing, you know, who they were. They weren't giving lots away, but they were a definite threat. I suppose that's my overall takeaway from it, is there was a real good sense of drama and threat.
Yes, well, they even could phase themselves into the TARDIS, couldn't they?
Yes.
So, and nothing can broach the defences of the TARDIS, apparently.
Wow. So, and in terms of scale, this episode felt that they had really raised the bar. There was a massive sense of scale on it. Just in terms of the shooting, they went to South Africa. to shoot a lot of scenes which kind of stood in for America and stood in for Australia. And some very, very clever shooting. Particularly, you've got South Africa standing for the desert of Australia, but then also the kind of city metropolis of America as well, where Lenny Henry's character was based.
Yeah.
So it was beautifully shot, I have to admit.
The cinematography was just superb. It looked luxurious and lavish, I thought.
Absolutely. It looked like they'd thrown a lot of money at it, but knowing Doctor Who, they probably had hardly any money to do it. And they did some very clever accounting and stuff like that to make it work.
Some very clever jiggery pokery.
Yes, probably John Nathan Turner would be proud of. And there were a few nice touches. Something I'm sure has been talked about, but I've not really seen it myself on the forums and stuff I've looked at, is you know when they go, Yaz and Ryan go and visit Lenny Henry's character, and he's a kind of metropolis, which is basically he's the head of Google in the Who universe.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the company's called now.
Vore,
that was it. I'm glad you were paying attention. So Vore is Google. Fine, we get that. But when they walked into the building to go and meet the boss and his assistant comes along, did you notice how he was dressed? I bet you didn't.
He had like check trousers.
Check trousers, like a pale blue shirt and a dicky bow.
Are we talking Patrick Troughton here?
It is. As soon as I saw him walk on screen, I was like, he's wearing Patrick Troughton's costume from The Three Doctors almost. get him a black frock coat and that is it. So I love that touch. That can't have been a coincidence.
Maybe not, but I would also say that check trousers are quite in at the moment. Oh, they're quite trendy, yes.
It felt like a very deliberate nod.
Yeah.
And again, that is something else that's starting to creep through this series. Nods to the past.
Oh, lots of them.
We will talk a bit more about those as we get to part two, because I think we saw more of the nods in part two than part one. In terms of our guest stars as well for this series, for this episodes, Lenny Henry as the big boss of Google, and Sasha Dowan
Well, we can spoil it, can't we?
Yes, okay. If you're listening to this, then obviously you must have watched the episodes. Otherwise,
yes.
So his character turns out to be the master.
No. This is the first time in history he's not been the master. He's the master.
See, that's what I was about to take issue with. That I very much like. I still think he'd call himself the master. I don't think he'd call himself the master.
Because Jodie and Sasha grew up 20 miles away from each other on either side of the Peak District.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah, I can forgive them because obviously that's, you know, they've grown up in that area. That's how we say it. You know, I say master. I'm from
so
the Midlands,
do I.
You know.
Yeah.
But I just a little part of me was like, oh, I wish he'd said master. I just wish it had slipped out and they'd gone, no, you will call me master. In a way, master sounds slightly more sinister than master.
It does. I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's incredibly nitpicky. But Lenny Henry, great as the evil kind of, Mark Zuckerberg type character.
The evil tech giant.
Yes, Daniel Barton.
Yes, that was the character.
Really good,
it?
Cold, calculating. Lenny Henry's a fantastic actor anyway.
Yeah. I thought the right amount of charm as well.
Yes, that's it. So, you know, slightly aloof as well. You've got Stephen Fry as C, head of MI6. Cruelly dispatched within the first 10 or 15 minutes of the episode.
Know. They did not make much use of that guest star, did they?
No, maybe they had him for a day or something. So like, well.
Yeah.
But again, really good. Perfect casting for that kind of role.
Gave it the right gravitas, I thought.
Absolutely. It just shows you how high they were aiming this series. Sasha himself, very, very good at showing the two sides of the character.
Oh, gosh. When they're on that plane And he kind of like, it's almost like he flicks a switch and he goes, got me.
It is.
And it reveals, it's like, oh.
It's the look in his eyes.
Yeah, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it, actually.
So, yes, I was really happy with how episode one rocked along. If I want to be nitpicky, and I don't, you know, there isn't a hell of a lot that I have to nitpick, to be honest. There is still the odd clunky line about...
Yeah.
When they're in the car, for example, Graham points and goes, the sat-nav's reactivating as it's going, die, or die, die, die. It's like, well, we can already hear it. We can see it's already on. and you know, the doctor jumps in the driving seat and goes, somebody's controlling this car and it's not me. It's like, yeah, we can see that. And one more example. As they were racing to get onto the plane at the end, you see Jodie wave a sonic screwdriver at... a little light and said, I'm just turning off the sensors. And then it cuts obviously to the cockpit. Lenny Henry can see that the doors are open and then the alert goes off and he goes, oh, doors must be closed. She didn't need to, you don't need to put that line in, I didn't think, about, oh, I just need to turn off the door sensor.
Yeah. What's the phrase that you use? Show, don't tell.
Show, not tell. Yes.
Yes.
That's it. And more on that in a very, very shortly.
Yeah.
So... Episode one ends on a great cliffhanger. The master has revealed himself. The doctor gets zapped off to some netherworld, which is never really explained.
No, it's not.
And you're left with the companions trapped on a plane, which has no cockpit, really. The front end's blown off.
Exactly.
And it's plunging to Earth. Fantastic.
Great cliffhanger.
So I have really, really high hopes. So we move on to episode two.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, episode two was, I think when you asked me about it last night, my immediate reaction was, the word that springs to mind is unsatisfying.
Unsatisfying.
Yes.
For me personally, I thought there were lots of lovely little bits all the way through it. But did it really flow as a story, as a proper denouement to the first episode? Not entirely sure.
Mm. Again, some nice touches.
Yeah.
Again, a few nods back to the old series, you know, the Doctor and the Master. Sorry, Master. Yeah. Top of Eiffel Tower, he's like, sorry about Jodrell Bank.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, did I ever apologise for that? I just went, no.
Which is obviously a reference to Legopolis, Tom Baker's final story, where the Master causes the Fourth Doctor to fall off the top of a radio telescope. So there's that, and also the kind of a telepathic contact bit as well, where, you know, they both say contact and you kind of hear that little noise.
But they didn't make it, they didn't have enough of that sound effect.
No, that did.
Yeah.
Yes. No. You don't get that.
No, that would have been nice.
Oh, and speaking of sound effects, did you also notice that the Master's TCE, tissue compression eliminator, made the same sound as the original?
I did notice that,
And they got the original sound effect out.
That was brilliant. That was a real... Because I think, you know, he's not had that TCE as the tissue compression eliminator in any of the other series he's been in the modern era. That was kind of like, it was his calling card, wasn't it?
Definitely. It was his trademark,
I'm glad that's back.
It was nice to see it back. And also, you know, they dug out the old sound effect for it as well.
Yeah. But I think it was good how it kind of like, it showed him killing people for fun as well.
Mm.
So it made it seem dangerous.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I know some people have criticised and said, well, it's kind of undone the whole work that was done with Missy and the redemption arc and stuff like that.
But we don't know where this version of the Master fits in, do we, either?
No.
Obviously, there was the bit with the Morse code where they were tapping out the drum beat again.
Yeah.
So that makes me think it might fit in after John Sim, but before Missy, maybe. I don't know.
That could be it.
But with it being a show about time travel, it could be any sort of version. And I don't buy into the whole thing, oh, well, it just negates everything that happened with Missy. Mm. No, it totally doesn't. Yeah. Not in the slightest.
And... Okay, so to go back to why I thought it was unsatisfying, I'm sorry, I'm going to seem really negative here about part two, and you know, I don't mean to because I really wanted to enjoy it, and after the first episode, I had such high hopes. But there's just a few things that I struggled with. The companions, so Graham, Yaz, Ryan, I felt they were sidelined in episode two.
Yeah, definitely.
They landed the plane, they then went on the run, and they ended up at the hangar to see Lenny Henry's dead mum. But can you honestly say, tell me what they contributed to the resolving of the plot?
They didn't at all, did they?
They didn't do anything.
No, it was all the Doctor, Ada and Noor that basically solved it.
Yeah, that was it. So they contributed absolutely nothing to the resolution. They were just there as a distraction just so they could cut away from the Doctor, it felt like. I felt they were cruelly underused. They really should have been some kind of subplot that they were needed to do something to help the Doctor somehow.
Yeah.
Think about, you know, the Doctor's trapped back in history, just like, you know, she kind of went back and rigged the plane for Ryan to get the instructions on how to land it.
Don't talk to me about that.
Yes. There could have been something, some kind of plot to draw them in, that's why they've got a function. They're needed to help fix things.
They were definitely sidelined. Which, I mean... It's annoying, but at the same time, I kind of really liked the scenes between the Doctor, Noor, and Ada. So I kind of, every time it cut back to the companions, I was a little bit like, oof, I want to go back to the Doctor. I'm more interested in them. But yes. I think my biggest gripe for it was just some of it was too silly for words. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous.
Anything
when you talk
specific?
About Doctor Who. Oh, flying the plane with an app.
But then you could turn around and go, well, you know, David Tennant's Doctor cured a load of sick people in New York by pouring every known cure into one big mix or something, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
So yeah, there's been complete bobbins in there before, you know. It's fine.
I mean, yeah, it's in the grand scheme of things, you can't really complain about silly things in Doctor Who. It's Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But I just thought, I thought I was taking it a step too far.
True.
Whereas things like the laser shoes, I thought that was kind of amusing. And I thought, you know, that's there for the kids.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Perfect for the kids to play you know, on the playground Monday morning.
Yeah.
Completely get why that's included. Really good, really entertaining.
Yeah.
Again, there was more telling and not showing.
Yes.
Particularly when we hit the resolution where the Doctor wanders back into the hangar and is like, oh, yeah, did I not mention that I just nipped back in time and planted a virus into that whole statue thing and set it to overload and blah, blah, blah? Well, you've just walked in and just told us you've done all that. Why not show it? Why was even in flashback?
Because they were running out of time, Gary. There was like 8 minutes left to go and I was thinking, they need to wrap this up fairly quickly because otherwise it's all, you know, it's all going to be rushed and...
But to basically get to your climax where, you know, they're about to wipe the DNA of the entire human race and, you know, use them as hard drives to start storing stuff. So you're at your crunch point and then it suddenly just goes, clicks off and the Doctor walks in and goes, oh, yeah, I've completely, you know, I've fixed all that and put a fix in for that. And it's all happened off screen.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of payoff we want. Show, not tell. Would be my main notes to give back to Chibnall on this one.
Come on, Chibbers.
And one little bit, I don't quite understand. Maybe you understood better than me. So the kind of the villains of the piece wanted to wipe the human race to use them as storage.
Yeah, the Kasavan.
Storage for what?
I have no idea.
Exactly. You know, okay, fine. You need us because you want us to use this as storage. But what for? What's the purpose? What have you got to store?
I'm going to say, what are you storing in us?
Exactly. You know, Are you going on a binge on Netflix or something? Are you torrenting loads of illegal stuff? I don't get it. You know, I understand what you want us for, but why? What's the purpose of the storage?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I saw and read like a few rumours of how these aliens are actually not the Kasavan. People have got theories that they're the Vord.
Oh, come off it. Vord.
Vord. You know, Vord.
From 1964.
Vord. Yeah. Oh, you know the year. And also because, you know, obviously, again, more spoilers here, but the Cybermen are supposed to be one of the big bads in this season as well, aren't they? And there have been talks of how the Vord were kind of like another alternative creation of the Cybermen.
Right. Okay, if it is that, then they've just completely done Army of Ghosts again.
Well, exactly. I've seen that as a bit of a criticism about this, how basically Chibbers borrowed lots of little things from loads of different episodes over the last 15 years, like Army of Ghosts, like The Day of the Doctor. Borrowed lots of little snippets.
Yeah, so
put them all together.
A little bit of cut and paste.
Yes. I think I even saw one comment where it was just like, I think RTD needs to put a co-written claim in for this.
Oh.
Which I think is a bit extreme. Another great comment I saw online, and I messaged this last night, Gary, didn't I? How when the Master says he's been stuck on Earth for 70 years without a TARDIS, Big Finish pop up and like, oh, do you fancy doing a box set?
I also saw another comment that went, okay, so basically the Master was stuck on Earth for 7 years. He decided to become a TV director and call himself Waris Hussein, got a job at the BBC, and found himself directing, you know, the pilot of a new TV show called Doctor Who. Because, of course, Sasha did play Waris Hussein in an Adventure in Space and Time in 2013.
Yes,
about the,
he did. Yeah, yeah.
The genesis of the series. So that's kind of circular logic, get him back into it.
Oh,
very clever.
But I mean, you know, I've also seen people complaining about, oh, but the Master wouldn't have just sat there whilst a previous incarnation got foiled and beaten all the time by the Third Doctor. And it's just like, oh, we're thinking a bit too much about this now, folks.
Yeah. And you know what? All could be revealed later on in the season. I think only one other minor point to make would that be at the climax where he's kind of wiping the DNA of the human race. Again, there was not really a sense of scale for that.
No.
It was Yaz's family and the people in the lecture hall.
Yeah.
This was a worldwide event. I just kind of feel if this was RTD writing this, he would have thrown some people in the middle of a town square in Paris, in New York or Tokyo, wherever.
They'd have had that newsreader.
Yes. And the newsreader, you would have seen like the worldwide effect.
Yes.
Of this phenomena. And I feel we didn't get that. And the scale was not quite communicated as well as it could have been. Okay. So then we hit the climax.
Right.
So the Doctor obviously defeats the Master, and then he has one last little parting shot, and that is that he went back to Gallifrey and he found out that what they were told was all a lie.
Yeah.
And Gallifrey was in ruins. And oh, by the way, did I mention it's in ruins because I blew them all up? It was me.
Because I had to punish them for what I found out.
So we have the reintroduction of the Timeless Child.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really only referenced once, I think, last season.
And in episode 2 of the last season as well.
And that was another criticism levelled at last year. It was like, well, you teased this, but you did nothing with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe this was the plan all along. It was set it up then and play the long game.
Yeah.
With it. So we now have this kind of arc being set up, it feels like, for the rest of the series, that he's going to perhaps thread its way through. I mean,
might
not know in Chibnall, it'll just maybe just drop and they'll pick it up again next year or something. So Gallifrey was gone, destroyed in the Time War. Then it was in its own little bubble in a separate universe, wasn't it?
Yeah, after Day of the Doctor.
And then it came back for in Peter Capaldi's time, and it was kind of at the end of the universe, wasn't it? Hanging out.
Yeah, kind of like, right at the end of the universe in its own little bubble or something, wasn't it?
Still in its bubble, but instead of being an alternate dimension, it was just at the end of the universe. It was hanging out at the end of time.
Yeah.
So now Gallifrey's gone again.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't actually bother me that much. I find the whole idea of Time Lord Society and Gallifrey slightly dull.
Well, I'm hoping we personally get the Gallifrey Cafe back.
The Gallifrey Cafe?
That we saw in Arc of Infinity.
Oh, right, yes.
They're all sipping lattes and having a biscotti.
Oh, dear.
I think, whatever they choose to do with it is fine, because, you know, Gallifrey's been, you know, come and gone, and we've seen in various guises over the years, so that's fine. It does feel like Chibnall's kind of loosened up a little this year. He's not wanting to have a complete clean slate. It's like, we're ignoring everything from the past. We're not talking about anything that's gone before. This is all new.
Yeah.
He's bringing stuff back, and, you know, you could argue that's the wrong thing to do. You're pandering to the fans. But I don't know, you know, is this him choosing to do this? Maybe this was his plan all along.
He was strategy all that. But it's weird to think, isn't it, that that episode last night is the first time that Jodie had uttered the words, "I am a Time Lord."
Mm. Yes, that's true. And after a year of being with the Doctor, you know, a whole season, the companions were still like, "Who are you? Where do you come from?" So they obviously have not really talked a lot about the past.
No.
So I'm quite excited, though, for the rest of the season. You know, okay, episode 2 of Spyfall wasn't quite my cup of tea. I did enjoy elements of it, though.
Yes.
I'm not coming away from it going, well, I'm really disappointed and, you know, fearful for the rest of the series not being, you know, what I want it to be. But you know what? I'm just one person. It really doesn't matter what we think. Really doesn't.
No.
The ratings are holding up well. It is still popular. I don't think it's in any danger.
No, right now. I don't either.
But overall, I have to say, looking at it as a whole, I enjoyed it. It was a good opener to the season, and it has made me want to see more.
Definitely. I took to Jodie last year, but I think even more so now, I really like, now that she's not just a bit madcap, but she's also a bit more thoughtful and a bit more serious. And she did go a little bit darker at times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. She does feel like she's kind of, you know, getting more comfortable in the shoes of the Doctor. She's settling into the role. She feels more confident in the role. Mm. That's how it's coming across.
Yeah.
And I hope they continue to have fun doing it. Because
it
may have been hard. If they ever went onto some of the message boards or social media after last year's season, they would have seen some real vitriol.
Oh, like proper bile directed against them. Oh, my word.
And I'm really hoping that they were shielded from that and they'd just be allowed to just crack on and just get on with having a good time making the show.
Yeah.
Right, folks, we've hit the end. That's enough of us for now.
Yeah.
We shall be back with another pod. We'll probably be coming back for the end of the season. We'll probably do a bit of a wrap up.
Yeah, I think so.
It was in about 9 weeks' time or so, like that.
Yeah, something like this. It'll be over before you know it.
Oh, definitely. I hope you've enjoyed listening to us today. We've certainly enjoyed talking, haven't we?
Oh, we love rattling.
We shall see you again soon for another podcast. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.